Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Hello and welcome to another exciting episode, thrilling, adventurous episode in which the action never stops of The Naked Englishman. It's the 7th today of May and it is a sunny morning, although there is a chemtrail. Oh, bloody hell. Every day. Yesterday was cloudy. Started off sunny and went cloudy, like the New Year's, not New Year's Day, like the May Day bank holiday down here in the south. But I do hear from various other people that they had a baking hot sunshine. So it was just me. They were aiming it at. What am I looking for? I'm looking for a handkerchief. Let's get some washing on the machine later on today, but not immediately. But how long the sunshine will last, we often see this first thing in the morning. It's about half past seven on the 7th. There's a handkerchief. I think that's a handkerchief. Or is it a pair of pants? No. There we go. Blow the old honker. Anyway, that was that. Last night, my son was admitted to A&E. Billy has had seizures for a while, somewhat worrying. When he was 18, he's now 30, he had a brain bleed. And of course, I covered that in The Naked Englishman. You may be one of those very long-term listeners who remembers all of this. And we had to go to hospital. It was a very frightening time, just popping outside to see what the weather is doing. Well, I know what the weather is doing, but to hear how warm it is and also have a look at the clouds and gauge. Also see if that cold wind, we've had a cold wind, but that does seem to have got, oh my God, streaks and streaks across the bloody sky. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 independent streaks within, I suppose, well, I guess it was probably about 2 or 3 miles of sky, and it was all breaking up into poisonous gases. Oh, there's one high up, actually that one high up, it's got ordinary vapour trails. That's not a contrail, you can see the difference. How people can't see it, I just do not know. Anyway, so Billy, yes, he went in, apparently this time, let me just start this all again. Sometimes he's been having seizures at night time. This time he had a seizure and fell over and banged his head. So he was in for that. And there used to be, he had about 8 years of no seizures after his operation when he had a brain bleed. That was a long old, very scary, very frightening time. And then, of course, he took the jab. Yeah. Say no more, ladies and gentlemen. Say no more. Bless him. He was working for the NHS. He was forced into it. He needed the money. And this is where many people have got this same situation. So we were alerted that he was in A&E by his wife. And we said, do you want us to come over? No, it'll be fine. No, fine. So go and see the doctor at A&E, get his head patched up, have his medicine checked, have all, you know, the various other things checked. Anyway, I should go and see him today. I've got an interview at 9 in the morning, which is a bit rare. I hurt my rib. I don't know quite well. Well, it was down to Billy, actually, again. He came round last week, over a week ago now, and said he was working on a project and he needed to borrow my drill and my something else, an electric jigsaw. I think I told you this. I think I mentioned it. And anyway, I was reaching over in the back room, which is because I haven't got it. Oh, yes, I remember all this. I told you all this. Anyway, I must have pulled something or stretched something or bruised one of the ribs somehow. Not quite sure how, because I don't remember doing it at the time. And yeah. It's been, it's like a big bruise on the left-hand side of my ribs. And every now and again, you know, you move in a certain way and you go, oh, ha, ha. But it's almost better now, thank goodness. It's almost good. We all do these things, don't you? But you, this is something that you do, and then you take your health for granted, don't you, until something goes wrong. And then it's like, oh, gosh, you know, many a time have I, in the past, moved rather quickly or got up rather swiftly, only to pull the muscle in my lower back. And then it's like, oh, and I remember one time, I think this was during lockdown, I was doing my walks, and one time I'd pulled a muscle. I could barely move. I was determined to go and walk up to the very large graveyard in Broadwater, which is only a mile away. I walk up to there. And I managed to get to a point where I could walk, but albeit very slowly. I wanted to walk up to the graveyard, not to put myself in it, but I was there to try and find Richard Jeffries' grave, and I wanted to do it for a walk on the video, and it's on YouTube. Anyway, I managed to get there, and the entrance was on the far side. People were going in. I managed to get there. I did what I needed to do, and then I was really struggling to get back, and I had to pause. I remember pausing halfway back, standing as if I was just nonchalantly looking at things, but actually I was in agony. And then I was walking like a penguin back, very slowly, gosh. And then I had to, and I was lying on the floor. I remember getting in and just lying on the floor going, oh my God, I was in agony. And of course, nobody was allowed to travel and see each other and all of that. I think Julia came over, but that's another story. Yes, so it was, I remember doing that. But we take our health for granted, don't we? When we can do things, we just don't think about it. And then suddenly something happens that you can't, and that pain or whatever it is, that restriction, that inability to move, dominates you. And you think, God, how is it that I took this for granted? I wish I could have it. And so the message there, of course, is don't take your body for granted. That's the message. I hope you got it loud and clear, because you just don't know what might happen. You trip over, you graze a knee, break an arm. I was out with Julia and little Joe, and he was on his skates, and he was about to fall over, and I grabbed him to stop him from falling over, and in that I caught my finger on something on his clothes. I can't remember if it was the hoodie or something, or his sleeve. Anyway, in doing so, and his weight, it bent my finger back in an unusual place. And for about a month, if not longer, and it's still not quite right, my little finger, the pain in bending it. And now when I look at the finger, I can see it's still slightly... Well, I think the bone has moved. Just something's happened. Maybe a tiny bit has gone off. I can see it. People wouldn't see it, I don't suppose. But I see it. I can see it. We all do these things, don't we? And it's pretty... I mean, don't notice it now unless I actually put quite a bit of pressure on that little finger and it just reminds me that it's not 100%. But we all do these, or have these little damages, don't we? These little bruises, these little... dents to us, and in a way, sometimes I suppose this generation, our generation, and beyond, the younger, have become so used to running to the doctors. Oh, I've got this little, you know, a bit of toothache. I've done something to my finger, I've pulled my rib, you know, fix me. We're all entitled to being fixed immediately, expecting the doctors to do miracles and give us a pill that will repair everything. And you think back to ye oldie days, before the NHS, before your GP, when your GP, if you had a doctor, cost you a fortune, people just managed to do, they would know, they would have either an inert knowledge or there would be somebody, their mum, their dad, their auntie, their uncle, their grandma, or a woman in the village or whatever, who would be able to sort of or help them if they didn't have their own innate knowledge. Because growing up, you would be having these continual little dents and damages and hurts and sprains and breakages, and you would be learning. You would just learn by osmosis because people in that area would know. And of course, you would have various tinctures and plants, salves, all those sort of things that would assist you. Now, we've been told all of that stuff is rubbish, old folklore rubbish. You know, it's arcane. It's medieval. It has no place. Science, the wonders of science has done everything for us. Now we can split the atom, and we can split your head with pseudoscience. And, you know, and we were told during the lockdown, weren't we? Follow the science. We had to follow the science and then vaccinate everybody with a suicide jab. Line up and get this thing that's going to clog your veins and kill you. They didn't tell us that at the time. If only they told us that that was what was going, perhaps more people wouldn't have done it. Although I think even if they told people it was full of snake venom, full of nanoparticles, I think whatever they told you, they could tell you the absolute truth that we hate your guts and we're going to kill you and rid the planet of you. I think still people would have lined up. Do you want another drink? I'm talking to the lovely Julia, not yourselves listening there, by the way. I've got a little smile back from the pussycat. Little mojo.
He's had lots of snuggles.
Ah, that's nice.
He put his head fully into my hand. First, you know, he does the loving chew thing on your hand.
Yes.
And then he just put his head in my hand flat like that. It was really cute.
Ah.
And every time I tried to move it, he put his claws out.
Uh-huh. Nope. Wants to keep you there. I should make you another hot drink. I'm very kind. Julia is lolling in bed. I don't blame her. I got up in the night. Julia came up late last night because she fell asleep cuddling the cat. And so she's making up for lost sleep hours. And then I woke up in the middle of the night. I suppose, naturally, I was worried about Billy and I wanted to make sure he was home. So I got up in the night, checked my phone. I keep my phone in a Faraday cage. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? I keep my phone in a Faraday cage. I keep my phone in a Faraday cage. I keep my phone in a Faraday cage. It stops me having a terrible rage. You can use that one if you like. So, thanks. Yes, so I got up and I meditated for 20 minutes and then I checked my phone. Funnily, I did it that way around. My eldest son, I'd rung him, text him, rung him. He was oblivious, as he often is, to messages from his dear old dad. I sent him and the grandchildren some Easter eggs. I can't remember if I told you this little story. And I messaged him to say these were coming. I heard nothing. So I wrote him a letter, a handwritten letter, to say, by the way, I've sent you some Easter eggs. Sorry about the gurgling. And he rang back and he messaged me back and said, oh, Dad, I've just had this letter. And I said, well, you've got some Easter eggs for the kids coming by postal services. And there's some for you. And he said, oh, that's very kind. Thanks very much. That was the last communication. I didn't actually hear whether they arrived, and I didn't hear. Well, I think he did say they arrived, and he wasn't. This was like on the Saturday, maybe. No, on the Thursday or the Friday, Easter Friday. And I never heard whether they enjoyed them. I never heard a thanks very much from them. Never heard a dicky bird afterwards. My family is a strange family. We've always been very weird. I'm not saying I love him any less, of course. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying communication between ourselves is often not the first thing. Although I do try to communicate, but, well, you know what it's like, young people, parents. It's that sort of weird relationship. I do remember being that age myself and having a young family, and the mother would want to come round and she would be drunk and I would try and put her off. I would go, golly, I used to see my parents all the time though, but not for reasons that you necessarily would imagine. Mostly to sort of help my mother pick her up because she was drunk, or take her home abruptly because she started an argument and was quite vindictive. Or my dad, who would often say, don't bring the children round, or can you just bring one? I mean, I've got three, you see. He would just say, can you just bring one of them? It was too much for him, you see. The classic that my father used to say was, do you have to bring them inside? Couldn't you just leave them in the garden? And I said, they're not animals, you know, we're not just tethering them up, you know. But happy days. All these things are there to tax you in one way or another, you know. Some people, of course, had the most perfect life, or perfect parents, perfect everything. And that makes them boring, I suppose. And then unless you've had a few knocks, unless you've had a few setbacks, unless you had a few challenges, which hopefully you overcome, you can't really appreciate other people's plights. And it goes back to that thing with the doctor, unless you're able to sort of sort yourself out and think, oh, can I sort this out, rather than immediately running to these professionals. And we have become a bit, you know, liver-lilied, haven't we? We can't stand on our own anymore. I mean, look at that. What was his name, that farmer in Norfolk? Martin. Was it somebody Martin? Who, he didn't run to the police when he had somebody coming into his property. He just shot the bastard. He just came out as they were nicked something and they were running away. He just... He went to prison, didn't he? For defending his own car. So he said, well, you shot him as they were running away. He said, well, they, If more people shot bloody people coming into their houses, less people would come into the house. Although some would say they'll come into the house more heavily tooled up. That's as may be. I'm not suggesting or arguing that we need more weapons, but I think you're supposed to be able to defend your property, but the way the world is now, the police aren't going to come. The police will only come if you've got an outstanding debt and the bailiffs are there. The police hide behind the bailiffs. The bailiffs use the police to intimidate because they've got the uniform, but the police hide behind and negotiate with the bailiffs. They won't come if you've had something stolen or if you're in trouble. They're too scared, and they don't know how to do that. I watched a video the other day of this policewoman. Well, two of them. There was a man, I didn't see the man, but the policewoman. And this guy had cash, £1,000 of cash on him. And the policewoman was saying, we think you're a drug dealer. And he said, well, I'm not. Prove it. She said to him he had to prove he wasn't. Well, how do I prove I'm not a drug dealer? Well, you can search me for drugs. There you go. And they said, well, that's not good enough. We're going to take you down the station. He said, look, and we're not giving you back your £1,000. You're not allowed to carry that amount of money if we suspect you. I mean, if you had suitcases of money, £10,000, you think, oh, that's a bit unusual. And he just had a grand in him. Now, well, he could have gone to the bank. He could be paying off a builder. In cash, he could be just having cash because he wants to have cash. Oh, hang on, the little lady is calling from the distance. Let's get her point of view or we'll be into trouble. I'll have a slap round the face and then a tickle later. A little bit of slap and tickle, as they say. Hang on, she's still talking, but we can't hear her till we get up there. Hang on, I'm coming. Right, here we go.
First of all, why do you have to speak about me like that?
Hey?
Why do you have to speak about me like that?
What, the little woman?
Yeah. Anyway.
It was said affectionately.
Uh-huh. The universe doesn't understand that. Anyway, oops. thing I was going to say is it could have been his lodger's rent money.
Yeah, it could have been his lodger. Thanks for that contribution.
Exactly, you know.
I know. And did you see the video?
Did you see the video?
And they're not going to give him his money back. They're just like, well, that's extortion, isn't it? Oh, yes, we think you're a drug dealer. Thanks very much. There we are. Let's go down the pub. Most odd.
Absolute ridiculousness.
And the bloke whose money it was stolen, he was ever so calm. I mean, you know, most people are going, oi, that's my money. I would, personally, what I would have done was have rung 999 and said, there are a couple of armed people here.
Imitating.
Well, I wouldn't have said they were police officers, because I wouldn't necessarily know. I would just say, there's a couple of armed people here who have just stolen money from me. Mm. And they are, you know, I think they're dangerous. Well, if you say they're armed, the police are likely to come out, and then they'll come out quicker. And then realise it's their own force. And you say, well, they're armed, aren't they? They've got tasers and truncheons.
They're threatening me.
And that I'm being threatened. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Yep.
Definitely. Ring the police. For what good it would do you. In front of them. In front of them. That's what I would do. Mind you, he couldn't do that because he was too busy filming. That's how we know about it. But, yes, the woman now is an internet sensation. Of course, the policewoman. Right, I'm just making your thingy. I'm waffling on a bit today. But by the way, a thank you to the lovely people. Quite a few of you now have got in touch and said that you listen to The Naked Englishman. One lady said she listens to The Naked Englishman in the shower. So make of that what you will. I hope you're showered and dry now. And clothed. So, anyway, funny enough, an element of what I've been saying here is going in my video this morning. An element based on the fact that my son went to A&E, but it's not quite what I've been exactly what I've been talking about. Now, which I've got to wash these teaspoons because the lovely Julia's palate is very sensitive, and if one spoon has been in coffee and now I put it into her preferred drink, she can taste it. So don't want that. There we go. I will have another cup of coffee. Another cup of coffee, sir. Keep my head buzzing. Gotta try and stay awake. So we're gonna talk about Egypt. Egypt, ladies and gentlemen, Egypt. Egypt. Yes, I said that. Egypt. With a chap called Alex, who's from Down Under. And I'm doing that 9 o'clock this morning. When's that? In an hour and a half. So I'm going to go and make my video and get that all sorted in a minute. Because apparently there's some revelations. I don't think we're going to talk about the Great Pyramid of Giza. What they found, these mysterious cylinders going down. They did some sort of radio technology thing to discover what was beneath the pyramid. It's all coming out now, isn't it? All coming out now. I think they've discovered that the pharaohs weren't pharaohs at all. They were fairies. See? Just a couple of letters. You can turn pharaohs to fairies. Fairies from the Pyrenees with a pair of knees. That is worrying. The fairies from the Pyrenees with a pair of knees, who were plagued by terrible sneeze, is what am I looking for? Nothing. So yes, funny enough, despite having a broken sleep, I am in a good. And despite my son being, I suppose I'm relieved that he came back and he was fine as you can be, on the death medicine, the jab, the vaccination that's killing people left, right. I mean, by the way, if you've been vaccinated, please make sure you get some protocols, because they did say after 5 years, that's when you'll start seeing people dropping down like flies. Mind you, also bear in mind, many people had saline solution. Many, you know, there's so many theories about what was in it and what was where and who had what, so don't panic. I mean, if you're still alive and you've had no problems, you'd be all right, I'm sure. There's a bottle of whiskey for you this morning.
Put your buffers on my buffers, thank you. There we go. You all right, my love?
No, I am.
Yeah, excellent. Right, so I've managed to make my coffee and 25 minutes bent your ear. Thank you very much. Wandering around the house. Some people seem to like this, so I'm thrilled. I've exhausted myself now, though, climbing up and down. Right, I'm going to go and upload. Oh, I need to turn the internet on so everybody has the internet, you know. All this walking about makes, on audio, I imagine, makes the house sound palatial, doesn't it? Huge left at each wing. I nearly said left wing and right wing. But, well, I suppose it would be the left wing and the right wing. Yes. Oh, dear. It's funny enough. I can't find the butler and the page. Where did I put my coffee now? Or maybe Jenkins has taken it through, along with my early morning breakfast. Anyway, thank you for listening if you did. If you didn't, you have missed so much. And you'll be so thrilled to have missed it. Until I speak to you again, I will remain silent. And then I will open my trap next time. Oh, by the way, report on the sky. Yes, hazy now. Very hazy. And looking out my office window, my front room, I can see more bloody chemtrails. So, you know, if people think there is nothing to it, and you see a perfectly blue sky with half a dozen of these chemtrails, and then within hours it's misty, what do you think's going on? That would be my question. What do you think's going on? Just petrol fumes, is it? As people say, oh no, it's petrol fumes. Yeah. And now the government are saying, oh yes, we're going to dim the skies. They're only saying it because they've already been doing it. And by golly, so many people have noticed now, they've had to admit to it. And say, oh yes, we're going to experiment. They always say these things after the event, don't they? They say, this has been going on for over 40 years since, well, probably even before that, probably from the Second World War. They've been doing it. They've been experimenting in the sky with weather things before they even had aeroplanes. And they launch stuff from ships. I don't know whether you know that. They also now launch stuff from ships. And of course, there's HAARP over in wherever it is. Anyway, I must get on. Thank you for listening. Take care and enjoy your life. Toodle-pip.